Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to VMB, the voice of Manhattan business, brought to you by the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Bruce Hurwitz. You can find me on the web at either hsstaffing.com or fishhookbooks.com. I hope everyone will be able to join me this coming Wednesday at noon, when my guest will be Deborah Farkash from Living Well Inside and Out. We will be discussing Living Young, Preserving Your Youth. To learn about all upcoming shows, please visit our website, www.thevoiceofmanhattanbusiness.com. To learn about upcoming events on the Chamber's calendar, please visit the Chamber's website, www.manhattancc.org, and click on the events page. I am delighted to be joined today by Oz Konar from Local Marketing Stars. We will be discussing lead generation and targeting your ideal clients. Please remember, the opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants and do not necessarily represent the views or positions of the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 805-243-1301. That number again, 805-243-1301. Oz, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Bruce. It's great to be back.
It's my pleasure. Now, tell us about yourself and your company.
Sure. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I started four companies so far. My first adventure was when I was 7 years old. Back in Turkey. At that time, there were no supermarkets, really. People used to do their shopping through the open, like grand bazaars and flea markets. And I would help my mom out every weekend, and I would notice that in hot summer days, people would be just walking around for a couple of hours with no source of water, because there's no water bottle back then, obviously. So I went back home and picked up a pitcher and glass and came back to the market and started marketing water, selling water to the vendors and also the people who would buy from the market. Now, I noticed that I made 6-7 trips back and forth, and that would be my gig for a while on the weekend. So that was my first exposure to selling and marketing. So ever since then, obviously, a lot has changed, but my desire to help people find their ideal clients and find the pain points and help them just alleviate that hasn't changed. Right now I'm the president of Local Marketing Stars, as you said, where we help small businesses to mid-sized businesses automate their lead generation and marketing.
Thank you for that. I've got to ask. I'm being a little bit silly, but I'm asking it seriously. Every year, every summer, there's always a story that a little boy or a little girl set up a lemonade stand in front of their home selling lemonade, and someone comes by from the city and gives them a summons because they're selling beverages without a license.
Wow.
Anything like that happen to you in Turkey?
No, not at all. I guess they were not regulating, and no one really thought of selling the water, which I guess many people took it for granted for free. I came up with the idea, and I never came across anyone asking you for a license.
That's good, because it's funny. It has to impact the child when that happens.
Yeah, that's the first roadblock you have to overcome, right?
Yeah. You know, they always clean it up at the end because it's so stupid. In any event, that's what came to mind when you told me that story, or told us that story. Appreciate it. But let's get to our topic, which is lead generation and targeting your ideal clients. So I'm assuming, disagree if I'm wrong, that leads are potential clients or customers. So to get them, you need referral sources. So let's look at a few. Talk to us about referrals from existing clients.
Yeah, Bruce, I agree with the definition. So leads are potential clients or customers who show different level of interest on your product or your service. So going back to your existing clients is one of the most underutilized areas by small businesses. They work really, really hard to get that person and get interested and turn them into a paying customer, then they just let that person go, just do their own thing unless they have a continuation program or they never go back to them asking for who else they know. Because chances are, if you have a client base and a certain percentage of them will be your favorite clients, and if you go back to those people, chances are they know people like themselves, so you will be easily, you'll be able to acquire more customers like your favorite customers by simply going back to them and providing more value and getting those referrals out of them, because that's the least expensive way to do that instead of just running back to your marketing and lead generation systems again and start that whole process from scratch, because they've been through the hurdle of decision-making and actually pulled out their credit card or their money and paid you for the services. So you've done that part. Why not go back and tap into that source again, right?
Absolutely. What is it that they say it costs? I've seen everything from 5 to 15 times more to acquire a new customer or client than it does to retain an existing one.
Absolutely. And it's taking more and more steps every day, because we're in an ever-crowded world right now, and you have to build your brand and do follow-ups. So many different levels of systems you still need. But once you have someone who's been through that cycle and became your client, why not just bring them closer to you?
Absolutely. Now, what about referrals from social media connections?
And social media is a little tricky. So, yeah, it's not a big deal to have a lot of connections. Actually, someone was asking me the other day if it is okay to buy contacts, like buy likes or followers online. So obviously that person is definitely missing the point of having connections on social media. The referrals will only come from your social media connections if you're constantly feeding them with valuable information that they can use. Because, social media is one of the most used forms of media right now. Everyone is checking their Facebook 15 to 20 times a day, and you're not the top of mind unless you're in front of them. In business, you never want to be the best kept secret, right? You want people to know about you. You want them to follow you. Then when it comes to asking for who else they can recommend, they can, based on their experience with you, they can trust your experience and trust your expertise in your area and think of people to give leads to you. So it will take some work to get social media connections, but if you're constantly providing valuable stuff instead of just talking about your company and going me, you're not going to get really high quality referrals from those.
And there's something else that's important. I'm what they call, I don't know why, a mega user or a mega connector, whatever the term is, on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been aggravated online for some time because on LinkedIn people are posting things that are not professional, politics, religion, personal stuff that belongs on Facebook, not on LinkedIn. And I wrote a post, and every time somebody, you shouldn't do that. And every time somebody would post something, I would comment with a link. And right now I've got well over 1,600 people who have read that post. And
wow.
What I found was that the number of inappropriate photos that have been put on LinkedIn, at least on my feed, and I have around now 28,000 first-degree connections, there aren't as many anymore. Now, I don't know if it's just coincidence or if that post had some impact. What's your opinion?
The post, because people – I'm sorry, go ahead, Bruce.
I was going to ask, what's your opinion about people posting things of a personal nature on LinkedIn and other sites which are supposedly supposed to be more professional than personal?
Yeah, LinkedIn and Facebook and other media channels are just tools, right? They're here today, they might be gone tomorrow. Like, who talks about MySpace anymore? It's long gone. But when you're dealing with tools, you got to know what they're used for. You can't just blast your message across all the platforms. And I think one of the reasons you're seeing these inappropriate posts is that some companies, some small businesses, unfortunately, using the automation tools and software, they just syndicate one content across all the channels, regardless of what the channel is used for. Then, although you might have thousands of contacts, but it just takes one split second decision to post something inappropriate to ruin your reputation. So you got to know what the platform is asking for, and they're not asking for your personal pictures from your vacation or your bikini pictures. They want to know what it is that your profession do and how you can help them. I think differentiating that and just it's just being human, right? Automation doesn't need to make you look like you're a robot and you're just posting things randomly. And to your note, thanks for pulling people's attention to that. I think recently people are finally understanding what LinkedIn really is than just another just social media platform, just like Twitter and Facebook.
Thank you. Now, what's your opinion of online versus traditional advertising?
Great question. My background is it's from traditional advertising. I started out by doing direct mail marketing for chiropractors and dentists. So I'm a big fan of offline marketing when used correctly. And direct mail marketing is living one of its least competitive days nowadays because everyone is promoting online marketing. You got to be online. Online is the way to go. And if you're really good at doing direct response marketing, you'll get amazing results. And I think the choice of traditional advertising versus online advertising is based on your client profile. If you're accommodating to a client group with a little over 50 that's not using online media sources as much, they're still reading newspapers, they're still opening every letter that comes through their mailbox, or the odds of you getting high-quality leads through offline marketing will be a better option. So I never rule out traditional advertising, and I do not think a bit that online marketing, online media is going to replace traditional advertising because you have different types of persona and your avatar could be the one. And a lot of the times as your business is growing, you have to integrate both online and offline advertising. If I may give an example, we had a consulting client that was targeting dentists. So he was pretty much selling consultations consultations to dental offices to help them increase their revenue, reduce their costs, and all that stuff. So what we did with them is send direct mail to dentists and give a link to a video. So reached out to them through traditional media and carried the conversation to online marketing and have them fill out a form and get on the phone with this dentist. So this is a collaboration between traditional advertising and online advertising. I think small businesses, when they think of which one to use, they should keep in mind which one their clients prefer to deal with than just their own decision.
So it's a hybrid approach, which at the end of the day, the client or customer decides which they prefer.
Correct.
Now, I did this a little bit reversed. Usually I would have asked, list for us a number of referral sources. In this case, I began and gave you a few that came to my mind. What other referral sources can you identify in addition to existing clients, social media, online, and traditional?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way to look at it, I think every business should think about their customers, whether you're B2B or B2C. Think about your customer in a way to figure out what else they buy, who else they use services from. You know, let's say if you're selling marketing to small businesses, marketing is not their only need, right? They have vendors they buy other stuff from. They work with other companies. Maybe they work with a web design company. So when you just plot a paper and pen and make a list of all of those industries, or if it is a B2C, you're dealing with consumers directly and where else they shop from. And when you have that list of other businesses, it's just a matter of you putting together a plan of action to get in touch with those companies and build alliances, build referral relationships and reward them for their loyalty. Let them know about what it is that you do and why they would provide referrals to you. And I think you can easily add anywhere from 10 to 20, 30 referral sources by doing that. Of course, it'll take some time to build that relationship with the new referral source so they can give you their trusted contacts. But once you have it up and running, you'll have what we call a multi-channel marketing approach.
Now, just a reminder, you're listening to the Voice of Manhattan Business. My guest today is Oz Konar from Local Marketing Stars. Our topic is lead generation and targeting your ideal clients. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 805-243-1301. Please remember, the opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants and do not necessarily represent the views or positions of the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. Oz, how important is repeat business? And here I'm thinking about the 80-20 rule, where 80% of business comes from 20% of clients.
80-20 is an amazing rule. I read a couple of books about it, and I apply it to my life every day, and I talk to my clients about it. So the interesting thing is, if I may do a little simple math. If you do have 100 clients for the services that you're selling, most likely 20% of those people would be okay with paying more for the services, and a lot more. And out of those 20%, again, the 80-20 rule applies. So if you're selling one or two services or products, know that if you had complementary products or services that would go along with that, a percentage of those customers would have no problem paying for that. So, again, just going back to our original conversation about getting more referrals from your existing clients, you can apply the same thing and get more sales out of your existing clients. If you did not structure your business that way, think of what else they would be needing besides your product that kind of falls into your expertise. And by just offering that, or by increasing your prices by offering more, like your VIP solution, service contracts work great. Some customers need more attention than the other one, and they don't mind paying for the additional customer service. So that way, without increasing your marketing budget, you can tremendously increase the amount of revenue you generate from the same customers, I believe.
You may remember, but a number of years ago, must be a good 20 years now, AOL sent out free discs to everyone. And you'd get two or three a week, sometimes more. And their marketing just took over, and it ended up with them being involved in a class action lawsuit because the tech side of AOL couldn't live up to the demands that the marketers had created.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes, you know, nothing succeeds like success, but if you're successful in one area, you may fall on your face in another if you're not ready for that success. And that can happen
right.
to solopreneurs all the time. So they sometimes have to ease up on marketing when they're too busy servicing their existing clients. So how do you keep successful marketing from overpowering execution?
Yeah, that happens a lot. Just like you said, the service-based businesses, when you're dealing with plumbers or construction companies, painters, and you know, some even internet marketers, that does happen. So it can happen two ways. We call it the feast or famine syndrome. One way is the solopreneur just puts all the efforts in 1 month to generate appointments, showings, and proposals that are really hard. And next month, they collect the fruits of their labor. They acquire a bunch of clients. But they're right now so busy servicing those clients, they don't have time for marketing anymore. So the third month, the sales are down again. So 1 month, you're prospering. The second month, you're lack of opportunities. Or on the other end, you put so much effort on your marketing that you get a bunch of clients and you don't know what to do with them. I think as a solopreneur, it's a practice for you to understand how your clients respond. So, of course, getting a lot of business is a good problem to have, but just like you said, it can ruin your reputation if you fail on servicing. That's why automation is really key. Once you figure out something is working, instead of trying different channels all the time, bright, shiny object syndrome, right? You see one thing, you jump on that, you work on it one day, the next day you try something else. So stick to one thing, make it work, and know your numbers, know how much you're spending to get what clients, and that once you feel like you have control over your marketing, just use that until you have super expertise on that and jump on the net one. So that way you grow on your own pace instead of just going by what the weather feels like or how the economy does.
Now, the opposite side of success, of course, is failure.
Mm-hmm.
What do you advise business owners to do to overcome the frustration of rejection?
Yeah, that can definitely bring down the mood of your entire company if you get stuck, if you get frustrated by that. And I know that as someone who started in different sales roles in corporate America. I mean, when I first started, my job was to call on 30 clients a day, just pulling doors right one after another. And I would say 25 out of 30 would say no. And it gets you after a while, right? So it's not easy to handle that. So my solution for that was to think that the objection is not, the answer no is not to you personally, it is to your product or to your service. So at that point, I think you have to think more maturely about why you're getting a no and take responsibility for that and analyze why a certain number of people are saying no, because understanding why people reject your services is going to allow you to modify your offer and get a better offer in front of them instead of just getting frustrated about it and shutting yourself down or telling yourself or your staff that this marketing effort doesn't really work at all. I think it's a huge opportunity for you to understand your client persona and what they like and what they don't like and modify your service offer, product offer based on the feedback you get from them. So once you think of it that way, you don't see it as a frustration. You see it as an opportunity to learn more about their desires.
Excellent. Last question. Probably today, the largest number of individuals who I meet who are starting out in business have something to do with marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And on occasion, it's real simple to find to see that they don't know what they're talking about because they'll hand you a business card and their email address will be a Gmail account.
Oh,
so if they, you know, so they don't know marketing, they certainly don't know branding. But there are plenty out there who, at least on the face of it, do know what they're talking about. But in reality, they don't. So when considering hiring someone who claims to be an expert on client acquisition, on marketing, what questions should you ask?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are dealing with this problem more now than before. There's so many marketing gurus or experts out there, just like you stated. It makes it really difficult to find out who the real deal is and who's just faking it until they kind of make it. Marketing is an interesting area. They say that it takes a week to learn marketing and a lifetime to master it. And so when you are hiring a company, I suggest that you make sure that that person is available for a consultation either on the phone or face-to-face. And one of the qualities you need to be looking for a good marketer is really good listening skills. If the person you're trying to hire is spending 75% of your time together pitching their services and talking about different like channels and bragging about their Facebook market success and whatnot, so that person might not be the best choice for your marketing. Because although what makes successful businesses, the principles that make successful businesses are similar or the same, every company is different with their customer acquisition and their products and services, and a good marketer would need to have a thorough understanding of what your company stands for so they can make a recommendation. I mean, as they say, diagnosis before examination is malpractice, right? And also, instead of checking references by making phone calls, and find out if they have any case studies, like actual case studies with company names where they took one company from one area and took them all the way up to certain numbers and they can back it up. As for that information, if they don't have any of those and if they're trying to still sell you on the services and not provide much value, I think that's your red flag right there.
That is great advice. That really was great advice. Thank you for that.
Yeah, Bruce, because I know I've been, we all fall into that trap, right? people are get really good at manipulating other person's psychology with different sales techniques and closings and all that stuff before they learn actually how to deliver on their services. So one way is just take your time, listen to the other person, and just find out more about it before jumping the gun and getting all excited about the results. Because marketing, if someone is offering a silver bullet or just, you know, get rich quick, we're going to get it done in 2 days, just being sure that it really doesn't work that way, because at the end of the day, you're dealing with other human beings to sell your products and services, and people just don't act that way.
I like people who know their stuff, and you just proved that you know your stuff. So I thank you for taking the time for coming on. And before I let you go, what's the best way to get in touch?
I can be reached through our website, which is localmarketingstars.com, or if you want to reach out to me personally, my email is info@localmarketingstars.com, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you here today, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Oz, my pleasure. On behalf of the listeners, thank you so much, and a very special thank you to our listeners. I'm sure Oz joins me in wishing everyone a safe and prosperous week.